Nationwide, we bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello and welcome to Nationwide Discussion Hour on Radio Miraya with me, Gabriel Shadar. And today we are looking into the conclusion of three-year projects that have been implemented by international partners and also overseen by the government in the country, that is in South Sudan. And these projects were for enhancing community resilience and local governments. Governance projects, and of course these projects were implemented by UNOPS with the coordination with IOM, that is the International Organization for Migration, and the project was funded by the World Bank, and it started, as I said earlier, 3 years ago, that is in 2020, and ending this year, 2024. It aimed to improve access to basic infrastructure and strengthening community institutions in 20 selected counties of South Sudan. To explain the background and the aims, the achievements and challenges of these projects, I have with me in the studio Mr. Dominic Katt, representative of the World Bank office in South Sudan. Welcome, Dominic Katt.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm Gabriel Shadar with you in the studio. And of course, I have in the studio with me here representative from UNOPS, that is John Nyerenda, Senior Project Manager for UNOPS for Enhancing Community Resilience and Local Governments Projects. Welcome, John, to Nationwide.
Thank you, Gabriel.
And I have in the studio with me Consuelo Tangara, also the Project Manager for IOM in the same area. Welcome.
Thank you, Gabriel, and good afternoon, everyone.
Yes, nice to have you all. Let me start with the representative of the World Bank on this talk show. What is the World Bank's objective of projects in South Sudan in the last 3 years, especially when it comes to the words of enhancing community resilience?
Thank you, Gabriel. Let me thank our listeners right now for the attention they're giving to us. The major objective of the project basically is to address the issue of basic services in South Sudan. As you know, when South Sudan emerged from two decades war, the major challenge that the people of South Sudan have been facing is lack of basic services. Because they were basically destroyed all the basic service delivery infrastructures. So the objective of the project is really to improve the access to basic infrastructure, but also to strengthen community institutions in 20 selected counties. That's the main objective of this project.
When you speak about the number of counties, 20 out of 79 counties, what is the justification for the selection of the 20 counties?
Basically, if you look at this project actually emerged after the two civil wars. Most of these civil wars actually affected service delivery infrastructures, and it affected some specific areas more than other areas. So these 20 selected counties are those ones. Compared to others, really have more needs than the others. And basically, this was meant to help people access basic services in much conflict-affected areas. And that was the criteria used to select these counties. But also associated with that, we have also natural disasters, things like floods, drought, and so on. Those are criteria actually used to select these counties.
Of course, there is the question of local ownership. The host government that is doing this, where you are doing this project, how much were they involved in identifying these areas?
Normally, World Bank works directly with the government. So the project that World Bank funds originates from the priorities identified by The government, for example, for this particular project, the direct counterparts are Ministry of Finance and Planning, and then local government board, being a local governance project. So Ministry of Finance and local government board plus other basic service delivery agencies like Ministry of Education, Ministry of Health, Ministry of Water Resources and Irrigation, they are all involved in the planning and preparation of these projects. Now, you have just mentioned about sustainability. Projects cannot really remain there saving people for quite a long period of time if the government institutions are not involved. So at local level, we involve these institutions at Boma level, institutions at Payam level. And these are basically Boma Development Committees and Payam Development Committees. But at county level, we also have county government. So we build their institutions. Basically, this strengthening of these community institutions means we provide capacity for them to manage this project, identify, first of all, the priorities they need, and thereafter, they participate in implementation and later in maintenance on operations. Mm-hmm. And that's what hinges around sustainability.
Mm-hmm. Let me come to the United Nations, that is UNOPS. What kind of projects have you been implementing, Mr. John Nyirenda?
Thanks, Gabriel, and good afternoon to our listeners. So in this project, UNOPS has focused on implementing projects that are related to access to education, so improving access to education by constructing 68 primary school classrooms, also improving access to health services, where we have been able to construct and furnish 31 health facilities, also improving water and sanitation facilities, where we have actually constructed 258 water facilities, and in improving access to markets, where we think that community members should be able to have a proper place to sell and buy commodities, including farm inputs and the farm produce. And in that regard, we have been able to construct 11 markets. We have also looked at access to these facilities in terms of having proper roads. So 45 kilometers of community access roads have been constructed under this project, but also looking at the youth and the community members having space where they can be able to have meetings, hold trainings and the like, we managed to construct 4 community and youth centers. As my colleague Droma indicated, the project is not just about infrastructure and services. So to that regard, we have also been able to build the capacity of 369 Boma Development Committees and 84 Payam Development Committees. So all in all, we can say that by implementing these sub-projects, we have been able to reach out to more than 740,000 individuals with improved access to services, and also we have been able to build the capacity of the structures that are actual instrumental also for the sustainability of the same infrastructure build. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
For UNOPS, which is the United Nations Office for Project Services, you spoke about building Boma and Payam Development Committees. Is this kind of a new kind of body that the citizens are getting to be familiar with, and what will be the benefits of having Boma and Payam Development Committees?
Thank you, Gabriel. So the Payam and Boma Development Committees are in the Local Government Act. They're not like mm-hmm. being introduced as new structures. So mm-hmm. these structures ought to be existing, but you know, in most of these areas, they are not there.
They have been dormant.
They have been dormant, and some of them are yes. not existing. So the project actually had to form new in some places, just reorganize the existing ones, and then train them on how they can be able to engage the communities in defining what kind of services they need and which are the partners they could be able to approach. So these structures, as we speak, are even able to reach out to other partners and being able to have a conversation on what kind of services they need in their communities, and they're able to get some of that. So, like, we think that these are very instrumental structures in the communities, because they are the ones that would actually, apart from just looking at sustaining what we have done in this project, but they're the ones that are forward-looking about how communities can get together and discuss about their issues and how they can reach out to the partners on how to address them.
And also, this is giving a hint to other areas where they don't have this. They should start thinking of forming them, right? And they might get the help from the local government board to do that. Let me go to the representative of the IOM here. IOM, it is like a myth in the minds of people that IOM is just about migration. It's about people crossing the border, people who are refugees and all these. But these things, they are doing a lot of internal things inside countries. So, Consuelo Tangara, project manager for IOM on this special project. What can you say about involvement in these projects in the last 3 years?
Thank you, Gabriel. Actually, IOM has been in country even before this project started. We are closely working with the government of South Sudan on migration and about data, as we are also focusing on displacement tracking in the different borders of entry points of South Sudan. But apart from that, we are known to be present and have footprints on humanitarian response. But little did they know that we are also doing some development works together with this project on ECRP. We have been working with the UNOPS in areas of resilience building. From the side of IOM, we are doing the same activities as UNOPS. So we do access roads, health facility, improving access to education facilities, and water sanitation. However, in 2022, if you can recall, the floods have displaced people in many locations in the country. Where we have presence, where IOM is operating for the ECRP project, which is Western Barghazal, Unity States, Zhongli, and Upper Nile, Unity States became very much affected with the floods, and until now, water is still there. So in 2022, we also build protective dikes in Robkona. So I think that is the only difference in terms of the work that IOM has been doing. And in terms of IOM also, you know, moving forward, IOM will continue to implement ECRP. Now it's called ECRP2. That project has started in 2023, and it's ongoing, and it will end in 2026. The project is similar, but not the same, because this time ECRP 2 also ensure integrated disaster risk management into the infrastructures that we are building, and then we also have transition. So the government has started doing the project management, which currently an ECRP1, UNOPS is managing. Now it's coming to the government of South Sudan through the Ministry of Finance and planning, and of course still in partnership with the local government board. So I think in terms of continuity of the project, there is a continuous effort for the World Bank to you know, maintain the support to the government and, of course, the people of South Sudan.
Mm-hmm. The question for the World Bank earlier, I didn't ask this, how much approximately have been spent by the World Bank on these projects?
So thank you so much. For ECRP1, really, there's been a 45 million project, and that's why you see the project period has also been commensurate to the amount of money that is there, 45 million US dollars.
Okay.
Running for 3 million.
Of course, this is for development and all this. World Bank is spending others in other areas in the country, not only in this. In this other project, what, $41 million?
45.
$45 million dollars spent in the last 3 years. That means $15 million spent every year.
Yeah.
So you are concluding this project this year, I mean this month?
Yeah. For us, as you know, projects always have a beginning and, and an end. Mm-hmm. But also there's been some situations changing. For example, as I said, this ECRP1 was meant to deliver basic services to the people quickly after the two civil wars that displaced people, that really disorganized the raised of some infrastructure for service delivery, including hospitals, schools, and so on. So this was meant to quickly deliver, reinvigorate, rehabilitate some of these infrastructures to deliver educational, health, water services, and so on. Now, we are again going to do, as Connie has said, another phase of project, which is going to be more longer than this, and it is going to be more government-led, because the other one was implemented by UNOPS in partnership with the IOM. So the oversight arrangement was not so much embedded in a government institution. But this one now, given that now situations in the country is stable, people are going back to their places, and now development is beginning to take shape.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to now empower and build government capacities. Mm-hmm. They should be able to do oversight, because for us, basically, we help government.
Using our imagination a little bit, like, you go to where people have been affected, and you find, for example, displacement. A person that is displaced has left everything behind.
Exactly.
There's nothing. There's no shelter. There's no food. There's no water. There's no this. And you come there, or they don't have even medical attention. And you come there and you start doing something. I want to listen from you, to hear from you, IOM and UNOPS. What are some of the interesting feedback that you got from some of the projects you implemented, and the beneficiaries could see that something is really happening in their lives that brought a change in their lives? Any one of you can start, yes.
Thank you, Gabriel. This project, like we have said, it's closing, but it's closing at a point that it has actually delivered most of this infrastructure, and services have started to be accessed. I will give you an example in Iba, for example, where we have built two maternity wards, which we handed over. And when I went back there talking to the women, they are very happy that now they have a very good space where they are able to deliver. They told me that they used to deliver at home, but now they are coming to the health facility where they have attention of health workers, because they are looking at the cleanliness of the place. They are looking at, you know, the ambience of the place. So this is one example. I went to meet some students in the primary schools. And, for example, the girls at every primary school that we have built classrooms, we have also provided for sanitary facilities. And now the girls' facilities are separate, properly positioned. And they're actually happy that with these facilities, they feel safe. They feel that they will be able to retain in school, like the retention should be going up. We have seen enrollment going up in these primary schools. And we hope that the performance of especially girls in these primary schools will be much better than before.
I'm happy to hear that. This is a tangible thing. This is an effect, like the world is coming together, put money somewhere, and then they bring it. Even Iba is a very remote areas in the country, the far east corner, far west corner of the country, just near the borders. And these people could have been feeling nobody is thinking of them, nobody is worried about them, you see, but for you to go to those areas and do something really remarkable. Let's hear from the representative of IOM here, Consuelo.
Yeah, thank you. In terms of sharing, you know, a good experience that I myself have witnessed, because I came, I joined ECRP only last year, but I heard very good stories about the past. So when the floods happened in 2022 in Robcona, there's a community called Shilak Village. It was submerged, and it's all over social media, even international coverage. They were there, and it really painted a picture of no hope, you know. But when the intervention started, building the dike works in the area, we started, you know, we recovered the land. It became dry, and people started coming back. Their livelihood was recovered. And we saw the school started to, you know, to reopen. That was also very good collaboration efforts between the development and humanitarian partners. UNICEF, for example, have worked on the school, repairing the school, while IOM and ECRP, we did the dike works. And then, of course, the WASH partners, the humanitarian partners, they provided some materials to recover those water points. So it's a very good story, mm-hmm. and it's not only in these areas, but it's across the area. You can hear very good stories. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, just coming to my mind is, like, these kind of efforts also are another opportunities for improving the skills of the people. Mm-hmm. It's not just about giving them jobs, but also learning how to manage crises, how to address issues, and those who are involved there, where they left like they were before, or those, the young people you employed and provided work and all this, even temporary, what can you say? Yes, IOM, yes.
Yeah, so part of this project, the beauty of this project is we don't just hand over to the government and to the community. The project also aims to improve the skills, enhance the capacity of the local institutions, the committees. The formation of operations and maintenance, for example, to ensure sustainability of these facilities. That is a very good component of this project. Many of the youth learned how to fix a borehole, for example. Mm-hmm. The school management, the health facility management, they were trained. There were augmentations. Mm-hmm. The local government, they were trained on financial literacy and such a kind of training. So, mm-hmm. definitely, the skills has been improved across. The BOMA and PAYAM development committees have now came up with development plans, mm-hmm. and they managed to do it themselves with the help of facilitation of the project team. And of course now they have the long list of the needs of the PAYAM and the BOMA. And they reach out to agencies, to partners, to stakeholders, not only to ECRP, but it benefits all the partners also who mm-hmm. wants to intervene in this in different locations.
Yes, Nirenda, what can we say on the side of UNOPS in this?
Thank you. I will compliment what my colleague has said. So directly through this project, we have been able to create close to 500,000 person days and we have transferred, like in terms of wages, about $4.7 million. Because this construction meant that youth, women have been employed in those locations to construct. And through that, what we deliberately did was that we ensured that contractors are actually employing from the locations where the facilities are, and that there's the skills transfer.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the youth that were not artisans at the beginning, they were able to learn, and we hope that these skills have been left behind. So mm-hmm. if, for example, someone wants to do a house in these little areas, they will be able to find some of the skills mm-hmm. that have been developed. So yeah. they should be able to have some youth that can now be builders and be yeah. able to lay bricks there. So we feel that apart from the infrastructure and access to service, two other things have happened. There's a cash transfer, so substantial amounts of money have been transferred. People got access to income through this. And also that there's skills transfer, where mm-hmm. Quite a number of skills have been left behind in those communities.
You listen to Radio Mirai. This is Nationwide with me, Gabriel Shadar, and today I'm discussing the conclusion of World Bank-funded community resilience projects in South Sudan. We are looking into the achievements and also some of the success stories. And we didn't touch much on challenges, but we will be having that soon with the engagement of the listeners. With me in the studio are Mr. Dominic Kat de Roma, representative of the World Bank office in South Sudan in this show here, and Mr. John Nyerenda, senior project manager for the United Nations Office for Project Services, which is known as UNOPS, and also Mrs. Consuelo Sangara, project manager in the same project for IOM. And we will continue soon, and we will be engaging the listeners in this after this interlude.
Nationwide, we bring you latest current issues, discussions, and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
And for those who would like to engage us and also interact with the guests in the studio, the call line is 0929686297. The call line, I guess, is 0929686297. And the SMS line is 0912177141. And if you have, if by chance you have been a beneficiary of any of these projects in the one of the 10 counties in the country, let us know and what you have seen and what is your positive experience from being a beneficiary of this, if you have a chance of being there. And if you have any other queries you would like to ask the guests in the studio, you are welcome to ask them any question to that. Let's come first, before I got any calls from the listeners, I go back to the World Bank. World Bank is not new in South Sudan, of course, and has been, as I said, doing many other projects. And you have just spoken about phase two of this ECRP. So what is your initial assessment that this money has gone to good use in South Sudan, so that you will be putting more money?
Very good. Thank you so much. So this is a very important question for us. First of all, when we do assessment and agree with the government what areas to be funded, and then we come up with the fiduciary arrangement, how money would flow. Now, for this matter, the World Bank had an agreement with the UNOPS. And so money comes from the other side direct to UNOPS, but of course with the Minister of Finance in the law, local government board in the law, but this money simply goes to implement those projects. And before all those money transfers, there will be fiduciary arrangement put in place We do thorough assessment of the institution that is going to handle those finances. We also do thorough procurement assessment. So if we find such institution has got the prerequisite to manage funds, that's when we will start making the funds to flow. But if there is a challenge, then we first need to address those challenges. So yes, the money really went through UNOPS to for those that needed to be implemented by IOM to went to IOM, and we have regular audits, we have regular financial supervision, reporting, and so on. But so far, we have got value for money. As you see, all these outputs, the number of schools, the number of health facilities, and so on, we really feel happy that the money has been used for intended purpose. In fact, for us, we ensure that the money given is actually used for intended purposes. Mm-hmm. We have people who are dedicated to oversee the finances in the World Bank. We have people who are dedicated to oversee procurement, and of course a team ensuring that really money is followed up to where it last ends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have even physical auditing to ensure that the school is commensurate to mm-hmm. the budget assigned to it.
Yeah.
The health facility is commensurate to the budget assigned to it. All those mechanisms are in place.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some of the challenges, until I receive some calls, it seems there is a problem with the call lines. Until you finish a project, sometimes you don't know the project will hold or will continue until it is being used, until it is being accessed. Some of the example is that projects are sometimes put in the wrong places, and in the end, people don't have access to the project because it's the wrong place, or people don't know how to use it. They will break down sometime, and even conflict will come there and destroy it. We have a lot of these examples. So this is an opportunity for UNOPS and IOM to speak about some of the challenges that are still there and need to be looked into in the future when more projects are going to be implemented. Let me hear from IOM first.
Yeah, thank you. That's a very good... This discussion actually is very good because from ECRP 1 and ECRP 2, now that we have started ECRP 2, we have actually learned from our experience in ECRP 1. But there are challenges that you just cannot avoid, given the situation and the context here in South Sudan. I would say that the challenges that our team in the fields are facing, and until now, we are still experiencing this, would be the security issues, because the areas where IOM is operating is a bit remote. There are times that conflict arise, so we have to withdraw our team. So that already affects the timeline the operations and the security of our team. But we work closely with the government to ensure that our team is also informed of the situation, and ECRP project and World Bank is really very keen on ensuring the safety of the teams first and foremost. So that is also the good thing about this project. Mm-hmm. The second one would be the seasonality. We know very well that here in South Sudan we have. The last 3 years, we have been experiencing floods, and even this year, we will be receiving more volume of water, so more floodings.
Mm.
So, of course, the operations will be affected. But since we already know, we can already plan, because seasonality is now becoming a normal situation here in South Sudan. So we plan based on, you know, the situation and the context of each of the counties where we are working during the flood seasons. Of course, we work more in areas where it's not very much affected with floods, and then during the dry season, that's when we speed up, also we ramp up our activities.
So even the time for your operation is very limited because of the environment.
Exactly.
Yeah. You cannot work 9 months in a year.
Of course. Very limited.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a big challenge. Yes. Let me go to UNOPS. Also, what are some of the challenges that and the lessons learned from your operations here?
Thank you. We have learned quite a number of lessons in ECLRP 1, and we have shared that with ECLRP 2. Fortunately, IOM has been part of ECLRP 1 as well, so the learning has been done together.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, like, I'll give you an example of today. Today, as a part of this closure process, we actually handed over a furnished admission ward in a primary healthcare unit within Lokiriri Payam in Juba County. So this facility is fully furnished with 18-bed capacity. But because of the inadequacy of the staffing, for example, the facility is not in full use.
Mm-hmm.
So that is true also for some of the primary schools that have been constructed. You find that we don't have maybe enough teachers for that expansion.
Mm-hmm.
So one lesson is that for us, of course, we worked very closely with government, and this achievement of all these we have said it has been possible because of the different levels of engagement with government of South Sudan, including making us be safe to be able to implement these activities and making us engage with the communities.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that other partners working in South Sudan should be able to pick this up and support that we are able to make some of these facilities fully operational.
Mm-hmm.
So we will not achieve optimal access in those facilities if the soft part, which is the staffing, for example, or provision of medicine, is not adequate. I talked to the facility in charge today in this health facility about the supply chain for medicines,
mm-hmm.
and was very clear that they don't have enough. So we are saying that as a project, yes, we did part, but we needed to have a way to complement this.
Mm-hmm.
And just like my colleague Droma said, so this is one project, and we are working, of course, with other stakeholders, mm-hmm. and we are just appealing that these gaps that are there, if we continue working together, we should be able to overcome them somehow and have better access to these services. So this is one challenge I wanted to add mm-hmm. on what my mm-hmm. colleague said. Yeah.
A listener who is asking, maybe he's a Thomas listening to us, that please give us example of, he's a doubting Thomas, that give us some list of the counties you have been working on so that he can believe you. Yes.
From IOM side, we are present in Raja. We are present in Wao, in Robkona, in Upper Nile. We are present in Baliat, Fashoda, in Renk, and in Jonglei. We are present in Pibor. And then for ECRP 2, Duke and Twitch East will be additional counties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is where you have implemented projects and they have been sustained in the last 3 years.
Yes, correct.
Okay. Good. For UNOPS?
Thank you. For UNOPS, UNOPS has implemented this project in 10 counties. I will mention some: Juba, Kapweta North, Iba, Izo, Rumbek Center, Ulu, Awir East, Awir North. As part of this project. So if you add the what UNOPS and IOM has done in the project, that's why we're talking about 20 counties. And just say that these 20 counties are spread across the country. So like my colleague Droma said in the introduction, you see these factors that I used, like the to select the...
And assess, yeah.
To select these counties where we needed to intervene, are actual factors that are affecting the whole country. So for that reason, all the 10 states have been able to benefit from these interventions.
Yes, and your closing remarks from the World Bank first. Let me hear what is your last message to the listeners who chance to be listening to us, Mr. Dominic Kaut.
Yep, thank you, Gabriel. As a closing remark, I want to really tell my listeners, our listeners, that as World Bank, our key priority or key purpose of being here in the country is to support the government. So we work with government at all levels. Definitely, we can first start with national government that is responsible for policies, directing all development activities and so on. And then in that case, the main counterpart will be Ministry of Finance, and it now depends on what kind of projects we really want to do. If it is education, then we go to education. If it is health, we go to health. But currently, right now, really, our projects are spread across sectors. We are very much passionate about developing institutions, and those institutions will really run from national level up to village level. And that's why you find in this project we focused on strengthening community institutions, because when we want to build resilience, it means showing people what to do at a particular time to solve their own problems. So you train them how to really solve their own problem. For example, if a disaster comes in, what will they do? Connie talked about committees for the dikes and so on. So when rain comes, we are here in Juba, how will they repair this and so on? That's number two. Really three, we care so much about sustainability. And this sustainability comes with capacity building, it comes with the institution building, it comes with really ensuring that infrastructures that are there are actually properly taken care of. There are people there to take care of them. And second last is inclusivity, meaning that we are there for everybody. So all sections of people are participating. For example, the community institutions are made up of chiefs, traditional chiefs, the women, the youth, the people with disability, ex-combatants, and everybody else. So that we try to minimize as much as possible some community conflicts.
Yeah.
Finally, we care about the interests of the nation. We allocate resources equitably.
Thank you, Mr. Dominic, representing the World Bank. 1 minute for the IOM representative. Yes, Mr. Indurena, welcome. 1 minute for you. Closing remark, yeah.
So I'm John, representing UNOPS. Thank you for this time, our listeners. For UNOPS, my last remarks are that we remain committed to supporting the government in achieving the sustainable development goals. And this is just one of the many projects that UNOPS is implementing in the country. So we value the support we get from the government of South Sudan that has really supported us achieve this. Tomorrow we are actually having a closure ceremony for this event at a very high note, having achieved very high quality infrastructure and built the capacities.
Good so to hear that.
We really feel that our commitment to continuing with this kind of development and is there within UNOPS, and the partners, World Bank and government and other development partners, can still reach us if they want they want to support access to services and capacity development in South Sudan. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And 1 minute for Consuelo.
Yeah, so thank you so much, first and foremost, to the government of South Sudan. The partnership with the government is really amazing. We're seeing a lot of interest, and this project actually is drawing more attention from different partners, because the project is very it's you can see concrete
outcomes
yeah. Of the project. We're seeing more communities getting involved into this project and getting more passionate about being part of this project. Although the only thing is that we cannot cover all the areas country. In the country, yes. but definitely the government is very much into this project. So we're happy to see that from the government.
Thank you very much. And I said that we were supposed to have a government representative, but he felt unwell, and we will have him another time. Thank you very much, Dominic, and thanks very much, John and Consuelo, for being on this discussion. And I hope your closing and beginning another phase will be running successfully tomorrow. That is the 26th of June 2024. Thank you very much. And that is the end of today's discussion hour on...